الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue our discussion about the biography, and the life of Abdullah bin Mas'ud رضي الله عنه, and a number of benefits have preceded. And we have discussed issues with regards to his life and his time with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and likewise after that. And we have read the biography of that which is mentioned in the work of Ibn Hajar al-Isabah, in the work of Ibn Hajar rahimahullah al-Isabah fi tamyiz al-Sahaba, along with some additional benefits from other works as well, like the work of al-Dhahabi rahimahullah, which is entitled Sir A'lam al-Nubala. There was one narration I intended to mention in the biography that had skipped my mind, and it's from the narration of Nufay', Nufay' Mawla ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. Nufay' is the freed slave of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. He mentioned the description. He mentioned the description of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. He says, "Kana Abdullah من أجود الناس ثوبا أبيضا وأطيب الناس ريحا وأطيب الناس ريحا كان عبد الله من أجود الناس ثوبا أبيض وأطيب الناس ريحا." That Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he was from the best of the people. He was from the best of the people, and he looked the best in his demeanor in a white thobe. And he had the most pleasant scent. And this is also a clarification of how he would follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his guidance, in his demeanor, in his manner and conduct, and the way that he carried himself. And it has come in Sunan Abi Dawud from the hadith of Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhumah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ilbasu min thiyabikum al-bayad. Ilbasu min thiyabikum al-bayad. Fa'innaha min khiyari thiyabikum. Wa kaffinu fiha mawtakum." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you should wear from your garments the white ones. You should wear the white garments. Ilbasu min thiyabikum al-bayad. From your garments, you should wear the white ones. فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ خِيَارِ ثِيَابِكُمْ, because they are from the best of your garments. وَكَفِّنُوا فِيهَا مَوْتَاكُمْ, and likewise, shroud your dead in the white garments as well. So this is a great encouragement from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for his followers to wear the white garments specifically. So this is something that apparently Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, he was known for following the guidance and the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this affair. And likewise, it has been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and well known to all of us, alhamdulillah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to love the pleasant smells. He used to love the pleasant scents, and he used to love to wear the perfume. And he's mentioned that mimma hubbiba ilayhi min dunyana al-tib wa nisa, that from the things that are made beloved to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the worldly life was perfume, the beautiful perfume and scent, and likewise women. And so this is something that is apparent here in this narration. He said about Abdullah, kana min ajwad an-nasi thawban abyad wa atyab an-nasi riha, that he was from the best of the people in his appearance, in a white thawb, and likewise in his scent, in his rih, and the fragrance that's coming from him. So this is from those descriptions of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that are clearly in line with that which has been reported from the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So now we move on to reading some beneficial statements and narrations that have been mentioned from the statements of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, collected from a number of different sources. Many of them are well known. many of them, they are well known. And from that is that he mentioned radiallahu anhu, كَانَ الرَّجُلُ مِنَّا إِذَا تَعَلَّمَ أَشْرَ آيَاتٍ إذا تعلم عشر آيات لم يجاوزهن حتى يعرف معانيهن والعمل بهن. He said that a man from amongst us, كان الرجل منا, a man from amongst us, referring to who? From us? From amongst us? From amongst the Sahaba. كان الرجل منا يعني من الصحابة رضي الله عنهم. A man from amongst us, إذا تعلم عشر عشر آيات, if he learned 10 verses, many verses from the book of Allah, لم يجاوزهن حتى يعرف معانيهن والعمل بهن, he would not go past them, he would not go beyond them and study and learn any more verses until he knows the meanings of those verses and the application of them, until he knows the meanings of the verses and the applications of them and the applications of them. And this is something that is of utmost importance to take admonition with regards to. Learning the Quran, no doubt, includes learning the recitation of the Quran and memorizing the verses of the Quran. And likewise, the mode of recitation and reciting the Quran in the daytime and in the nighttime to the best of one's ability. To the best of one's ability, following those rules, striving to recite it in the manner that it was revealed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we should not neglect the issue that these words, they have meanings. And this is what is intended, that a person, he will recite the Qur'an, or he will listen to the recitation of the Qur'an, and he will ponder and reflect over that recitation and benefit. And he will seek into his heart, and then he will take admonition, and he will go straight. He will comply in obedience to Allah and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in submission and humble submission in the application of the legislation that is found in that recitation, and the application of the legislation that is found in that recitation. This is of utmost importance, because if not, then a person, he will learn the recitation of the Quran and memorize the verses of the Quran and recite the very verses and ayat, there will be a proof and evidence against his own soul on the day of resurrection, as has come in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-Qur'anu hujjatun laka aw alayka. Al-Qur'anu hujjatun laka aw alayka. From the hadith of Abi Malik al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu, that indeed the Qur'an is a proof for you or against you. It's a proof for you if you believe in it and you learn it and study it and follow it, and learn it and study it and understand it properly and follow it correctly, seeking the reward from Allah and hoping for the mercy and the pleasure of Allah, then it will be a proof for you. But if one, he were to disbelieve in it or to turn away from it or to understand it and then rebel against the legislation that is found therein and not comply in obedience, then no doubt it will be a proof against the person. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they used to have concern for understanding the recitation and the application of the recitation along with reciting the Book of Allah. Along with reciting the Book of Allah. And likewise, it has been mentioned from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, in clarification of this, he says, لَيْسَ حِفْظُ الْقُرْآنِ بِحِفْظِ حُرُوفِهِ وَلَكِنْ إِقَامَةُ حُدُودِهِ وَلَكِنَّ إِقَامَةَ حُدُودِهِ. That making the hifz al-Qur'an, laysa hifz al-Qur'an. Hifz, what does that mean? Huh? Memorize. That's the only meaning? To memorize. Also to protect, also to preserve, also to uphold and to maintain something. It has many of these meanings. Laysa hifz al-Qur'an. Laysa hifz al-Qur'an bi hifz hurufihi. Making the hifz of the Qur'an is not by memorizing its letters. It's not by memorizing its letters. وَلَكِنَّ إِقَامَةَ حُدُودِهِ. But by establishing its limits. But by establishing its limits. And so this is the true meaning of memorizing and preserving and upholding the Qur'an. Not by simply memorizing the verses only and reciting it with the rules of tajweed properly,
but rather learning the meanings and the application and the limits that are found therein, the halal and the haram, the commandments and the prohibitions, the obligations that must be established every day and every night of one's life, beginning with the establishment of a tawheed and the obligation to make all actions of worship, servitude and devotion for Allah alone with no partners, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise beginning with the prohibition of associating anyone whatsoever in any aspect of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, He says, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. Those whom we have given the book, they recited the true recitation. يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. They recited the true recitation. أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. It is these who truly believe in it. Ibn Mas'ud, he mentioned himself, radiyallahu anhu, and likewise Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhuma, that التلاوة حق تلاوة اتباع اتباعه حق الاتباع, to follow it, the true following. So the true recitation is not just the recitation with the tongue and the reading of the Quran audibly and out loud, but rather the true recitation is the application of the law and legislation that is found therein. This is the true recitation. The one who learns how to recite it, he learns how to recite it to the best of his ability, and he applies and follows that recitation and application, then this is the one who has reached a high level in status. But the one who learns how to recite the Quran and the modes of recitation and the rulings of a tajweed, but he does not apply the law and legislation found therein, then the Quran is a proof against him, and he's not truly reciting the Quran, the proper recitation. He's not truly reciting the Quran, the proper recitation. Even if someone has had trouble with the recitation of the Quran and it's difficult for his tongue to pronounce the words properly, he's struggling. He stutters sometimes in the recitation. But he understands the obligations of al-Islam and the prohibitions, and he strives to implement them in his life and abide by them in the daytime and the nighttime, then he's truly from those who are reciting the Quran, the true recitation. The true recitation. So again, لَيْسَ حِفْظُ الْقُرْآنِ بِحِفْظِ حُرُوفِهِ وَلَكِنَّ إِقَامَةَ حُدُودِهِ. So making حِفْظ, memorizing, preserving, upholding the Quran is not by memorizing its letters, but rather by establishing its limits. The حُدود, يعني the أوامر with the النواهي. الأوامر والنواهي. الأوامر والنواهي. So this is the aim and the goal. So to read the Quran and to recite the book of Allah, or to listen to the recitation, this is the means, and the aim is to benefit and to take admonition and to be upright in one's creed and belief, one's manner and conduct, and to go straight and live a life that is in accordance to that which is pleasing to Allah, and to avoid that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to avoid that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, it has been mentioned from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud that he said, كَفَى بِخَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ عِلْمًا وَكَفَى بِالْإِغْتِرَارِ وَكَفَى بِالْإِغْتِرَارِ بِهِ جَهْلًا كَفَى بِخَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ عِلْمًا. It's sufficient to be considered upon knowledge. That which would suffice a person with regards to knowledge is that he would fear Allah, that he would have reverence and fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is true knowledge. True knowledge is the one who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He fears standing before Allah and the accountability with Allah, and he has honor and respect for the legislation and the law of Allah out of his fear and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will suffice a person to be considered from the people of knowledge. And what would suffice a person to be considered ignorant is that he will be deceived about this affair. And so a person, maybe he'll have knowledge, but he's still considered ignorant. He's still considered ignorant until he implements that knowledge, and that knowledge is seen in his life. Seen in his life, is seen on his tongue, seen in his eyes, seen in his hands, seen in his manners, seen in his conduct. At this time, the knowledge will benefit a person. As for memorizing lots of information, memorizing the book of Allah or the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is not sufficient to be considered having knowledge or being from the people of knowledge. Until that knowledge sinks into the heart and rests and resides there and affects a person's life and changes him. And he goes straight and he acts in accordance to that which is pleasing to Allah. He acts in accordance to that which that knowledge requires and necessitates. So this is a great benefit. He would advise the people, radiallahu anhu, it's been narrated that he said, تَعَلَّمُوا 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 تَعَلَّمُوا. You have to learn, you must learn, learn. And so this is an order to seek knowledge. And اُطْرُبُ الْعِلْمِ. Learn. تَعَلَّمُوا تَعَلَّمُوا. فَإِذَا عَلِمْتُمْ فَعْمَلُوا. And if you learn, then you must apply the knowledge. This is the greatest issue that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was upon. And likewise his companions after him. This is from the greatest guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Knowledge, beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. Beneficial knowledge and the application of that knowledge on a daily basis. Being consistent and persistent in seeking knowledge and learning and applying the knowledge that one has. Striving to draw near to Allah in a manner pleasing upon insight and light and guidance from that which is revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. تَعَلَّمُوا 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 تَعَلَّمُوا. Learn, learn, you have to learn. Seek knowledge and learn, study. Study the book of Allah, study the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, study the methodology of the Sahaba and those righteous scholars after them, radiallahu anhum. فَإِذَا عَلِمْتُمْ فَعْمَلُوا. And if you learn, if you know, then you must apply that knowledge. Then you must apply that knowledge. Because if not, then the knowledge will only be a proof against you. And many times, if a person, he continues to learn, and the caller in his heart is calling him to apply that knowledge, and he neglects that call, his conscience, and the faith in his heart is calling him to establish those rights that he has learned, and then he neglects that and follows his desires. While he knows, many times this will lead him to misguidance. Many times, وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ, this will lead him to misguidance. After being granted the blessing of knowledge and the favor of guidance, if a person, he does not cherish that, and he does not show concern for that and love for that, and show thanks and appreciation to Allah for that guidance by applying it and upholding those rights, then maybe it will be stripped from him. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ, and Allah, he mentioned in his book, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. And whenever your Lord has proclaimed that if you show thanks, then indeed I would increase you. And if you are ungrateful, then indeed my punishment is severe. To show thanks for the blessing of Islam first and foremost. To show thanks for the fact that you're guided to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To show thanks that you are granted success to establish the rights of Islam inwardly and outwardly in your life. To show thanks for the blessing of Islam and for the blessing of the Sunnah. To show thanks by holding fast to that in application and adhering to that in one's life daily. Daily by implementing those rights and abiding by them. And abiding by them to the best of one's ability and seeking forgiveness for one's shortcomings and one's errors and mistakes. In this manner, the blessing would increase and it will grow. By showing thanks, the blessings that we have will remain. And also they would increase and they will grow. They would increase and they will grow. But by not showing thanks, this is actually a sign that those blessings are soon to be lost and to be stripped from us. The people of knowledge, they say, أَشُكْرُ حَافِذٌ جَارِبٌ أَشُكْرُ حَافِذٌ جَارِبٌ. To show thanks for your blessings and favors, حَافِذٌ جَارِبٌ is a حَافِذ and a جَارِب. The حَافِذ, what is the حَافِذ? The one who protects and preserves. And the jarib, the one who brings about something more. He goes and gets and brings more. So ashukru, shukru lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, hafidhun jaribun. Hafidhun li al-ni'mati al-mawjuda wa jaribun lil-ni'mati al-mafkuda. That showing thanks and having gratitude and showing appreciation for the favors and blessings. The head of them, the blessing of al-Islam. The head of them, the blessing of the guidance to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You show thanks in this manner, this will preserve that blessing for you. And also it will bring about more blessings for you. But if you do not show thanks, then that blessing will not be preserved. Rather, it will slip away from you and could be stripped entirely. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So we must show thanks for the blessing of al-Islam. We must show thanks for the blessing of al-Islam, the great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by striving to implement the knowledge that we learn and to abide by that. And if not, then it's very possible that that blessing could be stripped from us. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. That blessing could be stripped from us. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he mentioned about this. He says, شَرُّ الضَّلَالَةِ ضَلَالَةٌ بَعْدَ الْهُدَى وَالْإِيمَانِ. شَرُّ الضَّلَالَةِ شَرُّ الضَّلَالَةِ ضَلَالَةٌ بَعْدَ الْهُدَى وَالْإِيمَانِ. The worst of all misguidance is misguidance after guidance and sincere faith. The worst of all misguidance. شَرُّ الضَّلَالَةِ. The worst of all misguidance. The worst and most evil of all misguidance a person could be tried with. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ ضَلَالَةٌ بَعْدَ الْهُدَى وَالْإِيمَانِ. To fall into misguidance, deviation, after being upon guidance and upon sincere faith. After being upon guidance and upon sincere faith. How would that happen? How would a person, after being upon guidance and sincere faith, after being upon huda and iman, how would he become misguided? By turning away from the application of that knowledge and not upholding those rights properly. And by following one's desires and showing preference to this worldly life over the hereafter, and putting one's whims and desires in front and being led by that in contradiction to the knowledge that one has learned. In contradiction to the knowledge that one has learned. He learns that these are obligations and he neglects them upon knowledge. He learns that these are prohibitions and he perpetrates them and violates them upon knowledge. Upon knowledge, these are steps from the devil, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, that will lead a person out of the religion, that will lead a person to misguidance, that will lead a person to misguidance. Also from the ways to be misguided, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, after being upon guidance and sincere faith, is by listening to everyone who speaks and sitting in the gatherings without any limits, listening to this one and to that one, and to take knowledge from here and from there, and to listen to the innovators, or to people who are unknown, or to listen to the disbelievers and the likes like this, and to listen to their ideologies and to be amazed with their affair, to watch them on YouTube and the likes like this, Person, maybe he thinks he's just laughing with them. They're laughing and joking, and then they say things that bring doubts about the very existence of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Or a person who become deceived by them, thinking that they're having so much fun, but in reality they're miserable. They're miserable. It's just a few moments that they're appearing to have fun, but in reality, they're miserable. They're miserable. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So to be deceived by them, by entertaining this affair, by sitting with them, sitting in their gatherings, listening to them, following them on YouTube, following them on Facebook, having friends with no limits, sitting in the company of people who have misconceptions, misunderstandings in the religion with regards to the proper creed, as well as the proper methodology. Or sitting with people who are tried by sins and they have no ghira in their heart for the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla and for His commandments and prohibitions. In this manner, a person, he will slip out of the deen, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. He will slip out of the deen, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. One day he's the first in the rank, then slowly he's falling back and falling back and falling that and falling back, and eventually, if the mercy of Allah doesn't catch him, then he will leave the religion and stop praying. Then he will leave the religion and stop praying. So the worst of all misguidance is misguidance after guidance. After guidance. So we must show thanks for the guidance. Alhamdulillah. We must show thanks for the blessing of al-Islam by holding fast. By holding fast to the religion in application. In application. And then likewise, not only simply in application outwardly and performing the rites of al-Islam outwardly like their customs and cultures, but rather performing these rites outwardly with a sincere intention and being honest in one's faith and seeking the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not just worshipping Allah azza wa jalla and establishing the salat because my mother told me to, or because my father made me, or the likes like this, but rather because you believe in Allah and you believe in the last day. And whenever your mother or your father tells you, son, you need to raise your hands whenever you establish the prayer, the four places where you raise your hands in the salat, whenever you make the takbirah to the ihram, and whenever you go to the ruku', and whenever you raise from the ruku', and whenever you stand up from the first tashahud, these are the places that's been narrated to us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his hand, narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, in al-Bukhari and in Muslim. So if your father or your mother or your brother encourages you to raise your hands here, then you will not do that because they told you so. And you'll not do that so they won't think bad about you or because you don't want them to bother you about it anymore. So you start raising your hands in these places. Rather, you do that because you believe in Allah and you believe in the Messenger of Allah and you believe in the legislation of Allah and that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَصَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. And pray in the manner you have seen me pray. And those who saw him pray, like Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, he seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raising his hands here. So therefore we raise our hands, not because it's the custom, that's how they do it in my masjid, or that's what my father taught me, or that's what my mother made me do, and the likes I did, but rather because it's narrated in Bukhari and also in Muslim that these are four places that's established that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to raise his hand in a prayer. Because if we just do these things like their customs and cultures, then we're not going to benefit. And likewise, this could be a reason and a means for doubts to enter our hearts and for us to have a bad ending. For us to have a bad ending because we're not sincere in our worship. We're not worshiping Allah because we believe in Allah. We're worshiping Allah because we're born in a Muslim household. This is a problem. This is a problem. We must raise ourselves and our families upon tawheed, upon sincere faith, upon proof and evidence of the greatness and majesty of Allah, and that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until we ourselves, we believe upon contentment, not because it's a custom or a culture, not because of my tribe or my father or my forefathers, but rather because I believe in Allah. Because I've seen the evidences and proofs, I cannot deny them. So I believe in Allah. Now I comply to Allah. And if we raise our children upon this way, likewise they have faith based upon qana'ah. Based upon qana'ah, they have qana'ah, they accept it, they believe. Not because it's a custom and a culture, not because my dad did and my mom did and my grandpa and that. Because they see the evidences and the proofs in the Qur'an and the Sunnah. They see the evidences and the proofs in the sun and the moon and the stars and their eyes and their ears and in their hands and their little brothers and sisters. They see the proofs of the greatness and the majesty of Allah. They see the proofs in the biography of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they believe based upon that. And they believe based upon that. Now, this faith will benefit them. As for to follow al-Islam like it's a custom or culture, this is not going to benefit. This is not the faith that is strong. It's not the faith that's going to produce fruits and goodness for your life and this life and your life in the grave and your life on the day of resurrection. It has to be sincere faith that's based upon qana'ah. What is qana'ah? Contentment. You follow because you're content and you believe and you accept and you see and you have faith. So you accept like this in this manner, like this, upon contentment. Al-qana'ah. Al-qana'ah. This person here who has iman based upon qana'ah, then he is content and he will suffice. And he is the one who will be able to say, Raditu billahi rabba. Wa bi al-islami deena wa bi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nabiyya. This is qana'ah. This is what is qana'ah. Al-rida bi shay, yani al-qana'ah bihi wa al-iktifa' bihi. He will say, My Lord is Allah. And he suffices, alhamdulillah. And he's content. And he's at ease. And he has no doubt about that. And iman will bring him tranquility in his heart whenever he remembers Allah Azza wa Jalla. And remembers the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He'll find peace, he'll find ease. Calamities will befall him and it will be tough for him. But then he'll remember Allah Azza wa Jalla and he'll become easy. And he'll be consoled by his faith. He'll remember the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the great hardships that he went through. And now he was born as an orphan and he lost his family whenever he was young. And he was tried and they killed his companions and his own relatives went against him and kicked him out of his home. And he went through great hardship and difficulty. So many trials, his life was in danger. So many times he was poor. So many times, so many days he had no food. He went through great hardships, starving and hunger. And the likes like this, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. So now you remember these affairs, that all of these hardships the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he was facing, he faced them, but at the same time he was still pleased. أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a grateful and thankful slave? He was still humble. He was still hoping for the reward from Allah. He was still content and accepting the decree of Allah and submissive in obedience to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore a believer who has this faith based upon al-qana'ah, rida, وَالِكْتِفَاءِ, he will suffice and he will content and he will be content and he will find peace and tranquility and he will truly benefit from his faith. And he will be from those whom Allah, he says, يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. يهديهم ربهم بإيمانهم. Be from those who the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, عجبا لأمر المؤمن إن أمره كله له خير. How amazing is the affair of the believer. His affair, all of it is good for him. إن صابته سراء شهرة فكان خيرا له. If some good befalls him, prosperity and the likes befalls him, he will show thanks and it will be good for him. وإن صابته ضراء صبرا فكان خيرا له. And if some hardship or adversity befalls him, he'll be patient and it will be good for him. وليس ذلك لأحد إلا للمؤمن. And that's not for anyone except for a believer. So again, we have to raise ourselves and our family, our children, upon sincere faith, upon the tawheed of Allah, upon the statement La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and to love that and to have allegiance for that and to prefer that over our desires and the customs of our people and anything else in this life. And anything else in this life. This is our life. La ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. I bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this manner, the worship will become beneficial. A person who will find joy in the salah. A person who will find relief in the salah. A person he will find ease in the salah. He will fast and he will benefit. Even if he's hungry and he experiences those pains, he'll remember the reward of Allah and the promise of Allah, and he will benefit from his fast. And he will remember that Allah can hear him, and whenever somebody says something to make him mad, he will check his own tongue. Or even if he slips and his soul gets the best of him and he says something that he realizes is not right, he should not have said, he will say, Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. I seek the forgiveness of Allah and I repent to him. And then likewise go apologize to that person out of fear of Allah. Maybe even do extra good deeds, hoping to expiate that sin. So now his faith will benefit him. His faith will benefit him. But as for if a person, he's just praying, bumping his head on the ground, moving his hands, he doesn't know what the imam recited, even if it's a silent prayer, he doesn't even know what he recited. Sometimes this may happen. A person, he may pray the Fajr prayer or the Maghrib prayer or the Isha prayer, and he does not remember right after he made salam what the imam even recited. Even maybe he himself, he'll pray the Maghrib, he'll pray the Dhuhr prayer, the Asr prayer, and then he will not even remember what he recited. What chapter did you recite? Unless you're somebody who recites the same chapter every single time. Then you say, I recited Qul Huwallahu Ahad, because that's all he recites. But sometimes maybe a person, he will forget if he's not paying attention. If he's not striving to keep his heart alive whenever he's performing the actions of worship, whether he's performing them heedlessly. So this is also a means for a person to leave guidance, to fall away from the straight path by just being heedless and negligent and praying the daily prayers with a heart that is heedless, fasting with a heart that is heedless, performing the good deeds outwardly, but with a heart that is neglectful of the hereafter, and not even remembering Allah. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا قُسَادًا يُرَاؤُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. This is the attributes of the hypocrites. وَالْعَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Whenever they stand up for the prayer, they stand up lazily, and they stand up lazily. وَإِذَا قَامُوا قُسَادًا يُرَاؤُونَ. And they show off. So they're showing off, meaning that if the people are not there to see them, they're not even going to pray in the first place, probably. Or if they do, they'll just bump their head real fast and get it over with. And get it over with, because there's nobody there to watch them. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ashadd as-salat al-munafiqin as-subh wa al-isha." In the end of the days, the morning prayer and the night prayer, the morning prayer and the evening prayer. And because at this time in those days, there's no lights on the street, so no one will see those who come to the morning prayer. No one will really see them. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray so early that one would barely even to realize the one who's next to him. So there's no need to come out if nobody can see him, if he's a hypocrite and he only wants to pray, he's only praying to be seen. And likewise at nighttime, at the Isha time, it's dark outside, the people are not going to see him. So there's nothing carrying him to go out and to establish the prayer, because what he's praying for is so that the people see him. So they're not going to see him because it's dark. So now he has no drive, no motivation to go out and pray. This is the way of the hypocrites. This is the way of the hypocrites. But if you tell him there's a dollar here or a dollar there, if you tell him there's some meat here, right? You're going to come for some dinner, he'll hop up in a minute. He'll move. He'll even come to the masjid and be at the door. If you tell him the same place he doesn't want to go to. But if you tell him that there's some food there or some other beneficial affair there from the worldly life, this will move him. he'll be motivated. So this is from the attributes of the hypocrites. They only remember Allah a little bit. They only remember Allah a little bit. So those who pray but only remember Allah a little bit, this is a problem. Those who establish the salah, but they only, while they're praying, remember Allah a little bit, this is a problem. This is a problem. So this could lead to this affair. شَرُّ الظَّلَالَةِ ضَلَالَةٌ بَعْدَ الْهُدَى وَالْإِيمَانِ. The worst of all misguidance is misguidance after guidance and iman. Is misguidance after guidance and iman. And iman. So we have to learn the Quran and learn how to recite it and learn how to apply it and also learn how to prefer that and abide by it. It's been narrated by Ibn Mas'ud. He says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ إِنَّ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ أَنْ يُحِلَّ حَلَالَهُ وَيُحَرِّمَ حَرَامَهُ وَنْ يَقْرَأَهُ كَمَا أَنْزَلَهُ اللَّهُ. He said, I swear by the one whom my soul is in his hand, the true recitation of the Quran is that you believe in the halal that is mentioned. You believe what is halal to be halal in the Quran. You believe what is halal to be halal, and you believe what is haram to be haram, and you recite it in the manner that Allah revealed it. And you recite it in the manner that Allah revealed it. Gathering both issues, the recitation verbally and likewise the application. So at the head of the application is applying the halal and the haram and abiding by that. First and foremost, accepting that and believing in that. These affairs, they're halal and permissible for me. These affairs, they are haram and impermissible for me. Having that creed and believing in this affair. And then after that, striving to uphold that creed by sufficing with that which is halal and not transgressing the limits to that which is haram. And if at any time one's whims or desires overcame him and he slipped into that which is haram, then he will remember those rights and that legislation and law, and he will seek forgiveness. And he will seek forgiveness. This is from believing in the Quran. And this is from following and applying the Quran and believing in the halal and the haram. Believing in the halal and the haram. A person who strives upon this way, inshallah, he's upon khayr. A person who strives upon this way, inshallah, he's upon khayr. And if he's sincere in that, even if sometimes his soul gets the best of him and he slips into something that is haram, but he returns back to Allah Azza wa Jal and leaves that for the sake of Allah and continues to strive against his soul, then inshallah, he will have a good ending. Then inshallah, he will have a good ending. As for the one who falls into the haram and then he becomes engulfed in that and he doesn't, until he doesn't care anymore, and he shows no respect for the haram and he perpetrates it like it's nothing, then now this one has a problem. Now this one has a problem. It's been mentioned by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that the people in his day and after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're committing actions. They're committing deeds and doing things that had one of them committed it, they're committing actions and deeds and they're doing it like this, like it's a fly in front of their face, waving it away like this, but it had one of them committed it in the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would have felt like a mountain is on their back. They would have felt like a mountain is on their back because of their faith, because of their iman, because of their honor and reverence and love for Allah Azza wa Jal, that if these rights are violated, it would affect them. It's not something that's considered light. So even if a person, he slipped and he fell into his whims, whenever that heat is gone and whenever that sweetness of disobedience turns bitter and sour and he realizes his fault, then he will repent to Allah Azza wa Jal and he will feel bad. He would feel bad. He would feel like he did something major. He feel like he violated something great. He feel like he did something bad, and he really bad. He would feel remorse. He would feel remorse for transgressing those limits. He will feel remorse for violating that affair and perpetrating that which he knows is not pleasing to Allah upon knowledge. But he will not despair. Likewise, rather he will come back. Along with feeling bad, he will seek forgiveness, and then he will strive to do good. And he will strive to expiate that and seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is the straight path in this life that leads to the pleasure of Allah. Striving in the obedience of Allah. Believing in the halal and the haram that are mentioned in the noble Quran. And also in the sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. تعلموا تعلموا فإذا علمتم فعلموا. You have to learn, you have to learn. And if you learn, then you have to apply it. You have to apply it. He said, رضي الله عنه, إنما هذه القلوب أوعية فاشغلوها بالقرآن ولا تشغلوها بغيره. He said, indeed, رضي الله عنه, indeed, these hearts are vessels. These hearts are vessels. إِنَّ هَذِي الْقُلُوبِ أَوْعِيَةِ. Indeed, these hearts are vessels. This is a type of balagha. He's saying that the hearts are vessels. What he means, the hearts are like vessels. And but to go to their vessels, this is a type of tashbih that is strong. Instead of saying they're like vessels, he's saying they are vessels, as if they are vessels. And he said they're like vessels, comparing the hearts to vessels. Huh? فَشْغَلُوهَا فَشْغَلُوهَا بِالْقُرْآنِ وَلَا تَشْغَلُوهَا بِغَيْرِهِ بِغَيْرِهِ تَشْبِيهٌ بَلِيغٌ. These hearts, they're vessels. So busy them with the Quran and do not busy them with anything else. Busy them with the Quran and do not busy them with anything else. Does that mean we shouldn't study the Hadith? That means we need to stop studying the biography of Ibn Mas'ud? Huh? What is understood from busy them with the Quran? Uh-huh. Beneficial knowledge. And in order to understand the Quran, you have to understand the Sunnah. You have to understand the Sunnah. So you need to busy yourself with the Quran, no doubt, learning how to recite it, learning the law that is found therein, and so on and so forth. But in order to truly understand the meanings of the Quran, you have to study the Hadith. You have to study the Sunnah. You have to study the methodology of the Sahaba. You have to know about the righteous, those who witnessed the revelation and applied it, the proper application, until Allah, He revealed those verses that today I have completed the religion for you. And I'm pleased with Islam as your religion and way of life. So their application is the application that is proper and good. Their understanding is the understanding that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. They're the ones who applied the complete religion without any deficiency or any negligence whatsoever. And Allah is pleased with them. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ وَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. So to study the Quran means to study the Hadith, and likewise to study the way of the Sahaba and the scholars upon the proper way. The scholars upon the proper way. So this is all considered studying the Quran. This is all considered studying the Quran. Studying the Quran. What is the hadith of Abdullah ibn of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu? ما من قوم يتلون كتاب الله ما جلس قوم في بيت من بيوت الله ما جلس قوم في بيت من بيوت الله يتلون كتاب الله ويتدارسونه بينهم إلا نزلت عليهم السكينة وغشيتهم الرحمة وحفتهم الملائكة وذكرهم الله في من عنده. So a group of people, they never gather in a house from the houses of Allah. يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنُهُمْ. That was the point, that reciting the book of Allah. We've seen the recitation is included. The tilawah is to recite it verbally and likewise to apply it. To apply it. They're reciting the book of Allah and they're studying it amongst themselves. So in order to study the book of Allah, you have to study the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is all from studying the book of Allah. This is my point. This is my point. So no doubt, to show great concern with the recitation of the Quran and to recite it often and to ponder and to reflect over the Quran, but the means to truly do that is to learn the fundamentals of the religion and to understand the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also to study the Arabic language. This is from studying the Quran and from being busy with the Quran. Those brothers who are learning alif, ba, ta, tha, jim, ha, kha, ba, bi, bu, and the likes like this. Ab, ha, ab, like, you learn it like this. You're studying, this is from busying yourself with the Quran until you go after that one. Then you learn, hada kitabun, wa hada baytun. You understand, you learn the Quran, you learn the language of the Quran, you study the Arabic language, you study vocabulary, you're learning vocabulary. You study vocabulary? Alhamdulillah, this is from busying yourself with the Quran. This is from following the advice of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. Inshallah, the one who busies himself like this with beneficial knowledge, he will not regret. He will not regret, not in this life and not in the hereafter. You missed out on some sleep this morning, alhamdulillah, you're not going to regret. You missed out on some other opportunity, inshallah, you're not going to regret. You're not going to regret the benefit that you get from seeking knowledge and from learning the Quran and the Sunnah and the way of the Salaf of this Ummah. So, إِنَّمَا هَذِهِ الْقُلُوبُ أَوْعِيَةٌ فَاشْغَلُوهَا بِالْقُرْآنِ وَلَا تَشْغَلُوهَا بِغَيْرِهِ. That these hearts are vessels, so busy them with the Quran and do not busy them with other than that. It was mentioned to Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He says, مَا نَسْتَطِيعُ قِيَامَ اللَّيْلِ مَا نَسْتَطِيعُ قِيَامَ اللَّيْلِ. We're not able to stand in the night prayer. And we're trying, for some reason, we're not able to stand in the night prayer. not able to stand in the night prayer. What did he say? He says, radiallahu anhu, أَقْعَدَتْكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ أَقْعَدَتْكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ Your sins had prohibited you from standing up. Your sins have forbidden you from standing up. The similar narration has been narrated also from a scholar from the later generations, from Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah. He died in the year 187. He mentioned a similar statement. إذا لم تقدر أن تقوم من الليل وتصوم من النهار فاعلم أن ذنوبك كبرتك أنه كبرتك ذنوبك أنه كبرتك ذنوبك. If you're not able to stand in the night prayer and you're not able to fast in the daytime, then you must know that your sins have shackled you and chained you. Your sins have shackled you and chained you, and they are prohibiting you from establishing these great rights. They're prohibiting you from establishing these great rights. So this is a greater fear. A man is coming to a great scholar. I'm not able to stand in the night prayer. I'm not able to stand in the... What is the reason for that? He says, because your sins have forbidden you. Your sins have forbidden you. So many times we will not be granted success to do these good deeds until we strive against our souls. Until we strive against our souls. But if we make effort and we strive against our souls, then inshallah it will become easy. Then inshallah, it will become easy, and Allah, He will guide us, and Allah, He will facilitate, and you will stand in the night prayer, or you will fast in the daytime, or you will seek knowledge, or you will memorize the Quran. But it can be false hopes, and it can be with bitasweef, sofa, bil amani, yani bil false, walaysa bi amaniikum, wala amani ahl kitab. It's not by false hopes. Jannah is not by false hopes. Reaching a high level in the religion is not by false hopes. Being a strong and a good Muslim is not by false hopes. No, you have to have hopes. But they must be coupled with application and striving against your own soul. They must be coupled with application and striving against your own soul. So we're saying this to our brothers, but likewise we're saying it to you, my little brother. To you, my little brother. You have to strive against your own soul. The youth, they have to strive against their own soul. You have to realize this from an early age, that especially once you reach the age of puberty, you have to learn how to strive against your own soul. Your soul is going to call you to disobey Allah. You have to fight yourself. You have to fight yourself with faith. You have to remember this law and legislation. You have to remember that it's an obligation to get up at Fajr time. You have to remember that there's a great threat for the one who sleeps on the obligatory prayer. The threat of the punishment in the grave. Likewise, the threat that the devil, he will يَبُولُ فِي أُذُنِهِ. The devil will pass urine in the ear of a person sleeping on the obligatory prayer, specifically at the Fajr time. So this is something that you have to learn. Whenever you're tired, whenever your head is heavy, whenever the blanket, the sheet is just like an iron curtain on your chest, you can't get it off. You have to remember Allah Azza wa Jal. Remember Allah Azza wa Jal. And you make the proper dhikr, and you seek the help of Allah Azza wa Jal, and you throw that blanket off for the sake of Allah. And you go and make wudu for the sake of Allah. And you make wudu remembering Allah Azza wa Jal. And you're remembering that Allah, He loves those who purify their soul. إن الله يحب التوابين ويحب المتطهرين. So you make tahara because you believe that Allah, He loves those who make tahara, and you hope that Allah loves you. If you make wudu like this, how much goodness will you have? But if you just make wudu like this, you're just moving, washing your hands, alhamdulillah, you get rid of the hadith, right? You have wudu now, but is there a great benefit? Is there a great benefit, or is it just like an everyday custom and habit? So this is the problem whenever we don't remember Allah, whenever we perform our actions of worship, because making wudu is not an everyday custom or habit. Making wudu is from the great means to draw near to Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يحافظ على الوضوء إلا مؤمن. No one observes and maintains the wudu properly except for a believer. So it's from iman that you make wudu good and that you keep yourself in wudu even when you don't have to pray an obligatory prayer. Maintaining the wudu throughout the day. This is from the ways of a believer. But not by just washing your hands like this and going through the day, but washing your hands believing in the legislation of Allah, believing that it's pleasing to Allah, hoping that Allah will accept that from you and grant you a reward. There's reward for making wudu. The one who makes the wudu properly, the sins, they fall out of his eyes and his ears and his fingers and the likes like this. Authentic narrations about these affairs. This is for the one who makes the wudu good. Not like a custom. Wudu is not like eating chicken. Barakallah fiqh. It's not like driving a car. These are adat. These are adat. These are everyday affairs. You can eat chicken, alhamdulillah. You can drive a car, alhamdulillah. But prayer, making wudu, these are not adat. These are ibadat. These are legislated to draw near to Allah. So whenever we become heedless and forgetful and negligent, and we start to perform them like their customs and everyday affairs, now this is a reason for our faith to become weak and for that worship to not benefit us in our life, and to have very little fruit from that. Very little fruit from that. The reason for the establishment of their prayer is to remember Allah Azza wa Jal. وَقِيمَ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي بِمَسْعُودِ هِمْ مَشْعَنْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ الْإِيمَانُ نِسْفَانُ نِسْفُ صَبْرٍ وَنِسْفُ شُكْرٍ. That iman is two halves. One half is patience and the other half is gratitude. And the other half is gratitude. Abdullah bin Mas'ud رضي الله عنه, he said, لَوْ سَخِرْتُ مِنْ كَلْبٍ لَخَشِيتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ كَلْبًا. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. He says, لَوْ سَخِرْتُ مِنْ كَلْبٍ لَخَشِيتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ كَلْبًا أَنْ أَكُونَ كَلْبًا وَإِنِّي لَأَكْرَهُ أَنْ أَرَى الرَّجُلَ فَارِغًا لَيْسَ فِي عَمَلِ آخِرَةٍ وَلَا الدُّنْيَا لَيْسَ فِي عَمَلِ آخِرَتِهِ وَلَا دُنْيَا. He said, if I were to belittle or to laugh at a dog, if I were to laugh at a dog, then I'm afraid that I would be a dog. If I were to belittle, make sukhriyas, any to belittle, to mock, to mimic, to laugh, to poke fun, to joke, and to put down, I'm afraid if I laughed at a dog like this in belittlement, that I would be a dog. That I will be a dog. And I dislike that I dislike to see a man farighan, empty. Yani meaning any free time with nothing to do. Free time with nothing. I dislike to find a man with nothing to do. He's not busy with the deeds of the hereafter nor with the dunya. And he's somebody who just lots of free time, wasting his time, not benefiting from his deen nor his dunya, just wasting time on this one and that one. Then how much time is wasted in these days on the devices, waliyadhu billah. So this is an amazing affair. He said, I'm afraid if I were to laugh at a dog, that I would be a dog. And this is something that is established in the religion, al-jaza'u min jins al-amal, that the recompense is based upon the type of action. And maybe a person, he would do something and then that thing will be done to him. Or he would mock people and then he'll be tried with that same thing. Imam Shafi, he has some lines of poetry, rahimahullah, about this. He says, rahimahullah, وَلَا تَسْتَغِبْ فَتُسْتَغَبْ وَرُبَّمَا مَنْ قَالَ شَيْءٍ قِيلَ فِيهِ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَا تَسْتَغِبْ فَتُسْتَغَبْ وَرُبَّمَا مَنْ قَالَ شَيْءٍ قِيلَ فِيهِ بِمِثْلِهِ. I do not backbite because you'll be backbitten. And maybe somebody will say something about someone and the same thing will be said later about him. Same thing will be said about him. So if somebody, he backbites others, then he will be backbitten. And if he finds fault with others, then maybe he will fall into that same thing, or his family will be tried with that. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ الْجَزَاءُ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ. This is dangerous. لَوْ سَخِلْتُ مِنْ كَلْبٍ لَخَشِيتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ كَلْبٍ. He said, if I were to laugh at a dog, I'm afraid that I will be a dog. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. He said, مَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ أَضَرَّ بِالدُّنْيَا وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الدُّنْيَا أَضَرَّ بِالْآخِرَةِ. يَا قَوْم أَضِرُّ بِالْفَانِي لِلْبَاقِي. يَا قَوْمِ أَضِرُّ بِالْفَانِي لِلْبَاقِي. He said, whoever wants the hereafter, he's going to be harmed in the dunya. And whoever wants the dunya, he's going to be harmed in the hereafter. Whoever wants the hereafter, he's going to be harmed in the dunya. And his world, he's going to take some harm. He's going to incur harm in the worldly life. He's going to lose some money. He's going to lose this. People are going to laugh at him. They're going to mock him. Or he's not going to have a lot of friends. Or whatever the case may be. So he's going to, if you truly want the hereafter, be ready to take some damage in this life. Be ready to sacrifice some of the glitter of this life. Some of the joy of this life. Some of the good of this life. That which appears to be good, but that is not necessarily good. You have to prepare to take a loss in the dunya if you're truly seeking the hereafter. And whoever is seeking the dunya, then no doubt he's going to take a loss in the hereafter. So therefore he says, oh people, you have to take loss in that which is going away for that which remains. And this life is going to go away and not last. And the joy or the pleasure or the happiness you have in this life, it will go away and it will not last. Not for you, not for me, not for anyone. But as for the hereafter, it lasts and it does not go away. It lasts and it does not go away. You understand that? So if you're going to take harm in something, you take harm with the one that's going away. So that the one that never goes away is going to be safe. Is going to be safe. You have to be safe in the hereafter. In the hereafter. Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he said, radiallahu anhu, irda biba qasama Allahu takun min aghna an-nas. Wajtanib al-maharim takun min awra' an-nas. Wa addi ma ifturida alayka takun min a'bad an-nas. Min a'bad an-nas. That if you be pleased with that which Allah has decreed for you, yani in this life, be pleased with what Allah has decreed for you, and you'll be the richest of people. And you'll be the richest of people, the most content of mankind. And if you avoid that which is impermissible, then you will be the most pious of people. And if you perform that which is an obligation upon you, then you'll be the most devout and sincere in worship of the people. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.